Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're going to be reading something from the Bible today, the Beatitudes, chapter 5 in the book of Matthew, so you can get your Bibles ready for this particular chapter. This is the way the Lord has led me this evening. We were all set to do other things, but I'm always ready to talk to the Lord to find out what it is that He wants me to do. And so this is it tonight. This afternoon, this morning, whenever you're listening. This is especially from the Lord. Let's all go to the throne and ask the Lord to anoint this service. Father, we thank and praise your holy name. We thank you, I thank you personally, Lord, for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, because this is the outward anointing for the ministry. People that don't have the anointing for the ministry are not supposed to be ministering. There's so many novices, Father, that are in the that have gotten saved, and they begin teaching, and they teach false things, so many false things. They actually begin lying about people that you really have called and have chosen, and those that have subjected themselves under elders, tutors, and governors, and have been brought up properly in the Word of God. People that were not really interested in doing any particular thing in the ministry other than what you want them to do. And, Lord, that's why there's so many false people. They have fallen into the condemnation of the devil because they're young in the Lord, and they have fallen away. Now, so many of them are also teaching that it's impossible to fall away from the Lord, but in this chapter and many other chapters in the Bible, we can prove to them where Jesus said that, you know, that you very well can fall away. And if your righteousness doesn't exceed, in other words, he's talking to people that are Christians, if you're not more right than the Pharisees, then you in no case shall enter the kingdom of God. And the Bible talks about, so you talk about so many places, Lord, in the in your word where people fall away. And they were enlightened, they were saved, they were born again, but then they were impulsive, and they impulsively began teaching when your word tells them that they're not to teach if they're newly in the Lord, if they're newly saved, they're novices, because you said that they'll fall into the same condemnation as Satan, as the devil. All right, and this means they'll go to hell with him. And so I just thank you, Lord, for anointing me to say these things, because there's somebody out in radio land that's listening to these things that need to hear them and apply them to their life. They need to back off, humble themselves, and wait until it's you that's talking in and through them, and until they have become mature in their knowledge of you and their relationships with you. Here on earth as you're in heaven and as you're in them. And we're saying this because we love them. We also, Lord, we pray for our enemies. You said that we're supposed to pray for them. That we're supposed to pray that they'll be saved. We're not praying that they'll become more demonic or that they'll persecute us or say evil things about us more than they already do. But we're praying, Lord, that they'll be saved, because it's your will that if we feed our enemies and clothe them when they're hungry and naked, and if we give them to drink when they're thirsty, by these good deeds, it should convict their heart that we are Christians and that they should be like us. Because usually when people are down and out and someone is kind to them, even though they're our enemies, you want us to do this because you want us to be like you, Jesus. And this is what you did. You did this to all the people that hated you. You prayed for them that they would be saved. And then in another place, you prayed not for those that were of the world that are not ever going to repent, because you know the end of the world at the same time that you first created it. Lord, we ask that you open the ears and the eyes and the mind, the spiritual eyes, to see the things that are said in these scriptures this evening and the commentary that they're true, and therefore their edification for their salvation. Lord, we ask that the church is reestablished and given higher ground, more power and strength, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in you. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. We pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, so do you have letters here?
Yes.
Okay, how many do you have?
Three.
Usually we go through these together at least a little bit on some of them. Go ahead and read them.
The first one's from Central Region, Ghana, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Holy Pastor in Christ Jesus, greetings be upon your name for the good work you are doing and have done. I have received your materials, and they have transformed a whole lot of people in my area. Thank you very much. Since I started distributing your materials, a whole number of people have asked for New Testament Bibles and more of the Messiah books.
Well, you know, there's really no way that people can understand the Bible by just reading the New Testament. You have to read the Old Testament also in order to be able to be thrilled at the fulfillment of the Old Testament when you read the New. And it's so important to read the Old. And if any of you have any questions about the Old or New Testament, write or call in, and I'll be glad to answer your questions for you. And I always let the Lord answer them for me. I stay up there with Him all the time. And so usually questions are extremely easy for me to answer. All right? And they always are coupled with things most of the time that no other preachers know, because then that indicates to me how close other preachers are to the Lord, because they don't get the revelations that I do. Okay?
Amen.
Some I'm sure do, but the ones I hear mainly don't. All right? Then Amen. What?
I also want you to add me to your mailing list. Your materials are heart-touching and soul-winning. I would be glad to receive your T-shirt and sweatshirt. My size is large, and I prefer the color white.
Okay, now, so you hear these people asking for T-shirts and sweatshirts. We give them out to people that are distributing our literature. So you could have one that has our logo on it. And so it's all yours if you're a distributor. Then what?
May the good God grant you long life to continue with your good work. May your ministries receive blessings from God to be the biggest gospel-spreading ministries in the world. Amen. Yours faithfully, Kojo from Central Region, Ghana, Africa.
Right. Now, I know that a lot of these television programs and so on are reaching more people than we are, but then I hear the heresy. A lot of them have very much heresy in them, and so I don't consider them spreading the true gospel. That's why I believe the Lord has opened the door for us to be on around 7 worldwide television stations, and we're having a little trouble getting our intro for the television station done. We sent it, and it was a little too, not to my liking, and so we're having them do it all over again. As soon as that happens, we're told that the TV crew will be here, and the television stations say they're eagerly awaiting our DVDs. All right, then what?
The next letter is from Managua, Nicaragua. It says, I just had time to read all of your literature, and I love them. Thank you, Lord. I have now given my life to the Lord. My mother receives Pastor Lama's literature, and she has given them to me, and I am sincerely fascinated. Claudia from Managua, Nicaragua.
Well, I'm glad that you're fascinated, but, you know, I pray that you will also be a worker for the Lord and become a distributor. Then what?
Last one's from Chapada, Zambia, Africa. Dear Pastor Lamo, it is my greatest pleasure to write these humble words to you, our spiritual treasured pastor. First and foremost, I would like to thank God for making your literature reach me in Chapada. Pastor, I received the Bibles and the Messiah books, including the amazing and anointed literature. Pastor, faithfully speaking, you have made my life ablaze through the anointed literature and the Messiah books. Missing the Bible and the prophecies in the book you have written is like missing the real life that God provides to His beloved children. Once more, I should say that I was highly enthusiastic after receiving your package. Pastor, the literature you sent to me has helped a lot of people to be won to Christ in the ministry, and I distributed everything and remain with only a copy of each for me to help some who come to me with questions. Pastor, I am looking forward to support the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, for even at the company I am employed under, your literature has reached my manager, who has also appreciated it, and it has changed his life. Pastor, I have a challenge before me, because most of the people I minister to need help with receiving a Bible from your good ministry. I also need more of your literature, more especially of the following titles: The Five Steps to Salvation, Dry Bones, Do I Offend You, The Sin of Unbelief, Accepting the Discipline of the Holy Spirit, and Assurance, including any more. Pastor, God willing, send me your T-shirt, large in size and black in color. I have enclosed photos of the time I was distributing to my fellow officers and my manager. That's at my workplace. Pastor, take it to heart that we need to penetrate even to the rural areas for the word to reach the people out there. It's my prayer and trust that the Bibles will be sent, including every request for literature. May God, who is rich in all ways, enable your ministry to continue giving support to the dying world, for the word you are sending in newsletters to the world through your literature is life-changing to them that believe in the only Savior, Christ the Messiah. Greetings to the entire body of Christ. Pray for us as your brothers. We are continually remembering you and your ministry. I am currently leading a preaching post in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your fellow beloved servant in the Lord, Clement from Chipata, Zambia, Africa.
Oh, praise the Lord. Now, those of you that are in these areas where there's a lot of poverty and so on, and you've been receiving funds from us to feed the hungry and the orphans and those people, the children and the aged, and those just everybody that is in need, I'd like you to send some pictures, close-up pictures of their faces, so we can put them on the website, and possibly some people will be touched. People's hearts are very hard these days, but possibly somebody's heart will be touched. What we've been doing is we've never had the pictures. We've had pictures of people that are doing well since we've given them the finances and sent, and they're in the ministry now, and the Lord is blessing them other than through us. He's just blessing them directly. But if you send the pictures to us, we can put the post them on our website and on other websites that we know, and it'll possibly bring in more finances so that we can send it to you, and then we'll send some of our missionaries out there where you are to help feed the children and so on. Now, we've been giving finances for quite some time to feed the children and also to different ministries that are buying water wells. We bought quite a few water wells and other things. But we, and some of these ministries, I don't know whether they're really, people are really getting the money, but I just trust the Lord that they are, because I know that God would take them limb to limb. He would destroy them if they were using the money for themselves. So I have to commend those ministries that are doing that, and we'd like to get more involved. We'd like to make sure that the kids get their the finances. We'd like to make sure that they get the houses that they need and the trucks to haul the food. And we'll hire airplanes to transport planes to go over there and take tons and hundreds of tons, thousands of tons of food to them and clothing and everything else, because we are privy to some of that those things. And if you'll just send pictures to us of these different people, children that are really ill, sick, and the people that are crippled, or people that are hurting, they have different diseases over there, we'll get medicine to them, and we'll get food and clothing and build places for them. But we want to see it, and I'm sure the people that will donate will want to see it as well. Seeing is believing. And then we'll send our missionaries over so they can take pictures with you and them as well, and they'll bring things, money with them, and I think things will be, I'm sure that things will be a lot better. Okay, so We'll appreciate all the pictures that you can get us. And we want people to know that we're working with another organization that we send money to that gets money to these other organizations. We send money to an organization named Armful of Help, and they send thousands of dollars to this Robeson. What's his name?
James Robeson.
He used to be the best preacher before, but I don't hear him preaching that much anymore. It's mainly driving for money, but we've sent him quite a bit. And then also Rod Parsley, we sent him quite a bit to, was it to build homes for people in where? In Mongolia. These children were sleeping in the sewers, and they were freezing cold, and so he wanted to build dormitories. And we sent money to Armful of Help, and they sent it over to those people, Rod Parsley and James Robeson. And then we sent money to have the Jews transported from Russia. They were being persecuted over there to Israel. And then we also set up soup lines there in Russia. And then when they arrived in Israel, we set up soup lines there for them and food. But we really don't know how to get to you people over there. That's why we're using other ministries and to send the money over there, because they're already established there, and we want to be established there too, so that we don't have to go through these other ministries to do it. And if you'll send us the pictures, I believe we'll be able to do that. And if you'll tell us exactly where you are, I'll send missionaries over there with the goods, the real deal, because we won't spend one penny of it on ourselves, and there's not any of the money that will be spent on executives or workers or anything like that, because it'll be our own workers. We already are supporting them with our own finances, and everything that comes in will go to you folks out there. Okay, now we're going to start out with the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew. All right? Go ahead.
And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Right, so, you know, a lot of times people are really feeling down, but I've been down before and been happier than I've ever been in my life. And then I've been up too, and I never had as much happiness when I was up, because there's more responsibilities when you're up. But I always feel, you know, fulfilled in the Lord and everything like that. But being poor in spirit, where you can just do nothing but just read the Bible and pray and witnessing to people, that's a real blessing to me. And so people shouldn't be upset when they don't have all the wherewithal. And when they're poor in spirit, they are those that seek for more and more of the Spirit of God to live in them, so that they'll be rich in His Spirit and poor in our spirit. Now, the Lord wants us to have a broken spirit. That's what it means, poor in spirit. We're not spirited to want things that for ourselves. I know a lot of these other ministries are pushing, you know, do this and you're going to have more, and you're going to be better, and you're going to do this, and you're going to have new cars, and you're going to have, and you'll have more of this and that and this and that. And what we're doing is just saying, we don't want, the Lord does not want you to be, to have this, and He wants to get your eyes off of you and to put your eyes on Him. Amen?
Amen.
And let Him do His works. So many people are saying, well, how can God bless me? Well, if you just do that, God will bless you this way, and if you do this, He'll bless you that way. And if you send money to us, He'll bless you this way and that way. We're not saying that at all. We're saying, get your mind off yourself and forget about yourself. That's being poor in spirit, when you're selfless, like Jesus. Jesus was out to win the world for Himself, because He's God, so that they don't have to go to hell. And that should be must be your attitude also, otherwise you will in no wise enter the kingdom of God. You must be poor in spirit and forget about yourself. Sovar is wanting everything for self. Be interested in pleasing the Lord and seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. You won't have to worry about self. The Lord will add all things unto you. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, continue.
Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted.
Why? Because if you're mourning for the things that are happening on this earth, the evil that is being done, and you're praying about it, you'll rejoice. Okay? God will cause you to rejoice and be happy. Then what?
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
Now, meek means that you are not meek before men. You have to be bold before men. The righteous are as bold as lion, but be meek before the Lord. In other words, do what he says. That's the kind of meekness that the Bible is talking about here. Then what?
Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Those that just want to hear the word of God and to know what the right thing is to do. We need to read the word to find out what's right and what's wrong. Otherwise, we'll never be able to please the Lord. And if we don't please God, we won't be able to. In order to please him, we have to be meek, to listen to him, what he says, see what he says, and then do it. If we're not meek, if we're not hungering and thirsting for the knowledge of what is right and wrong, what righteousness is, then we shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Then what?
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you're saved, you become born again of the Spirit, and then you're merciful to others because you don't want them to go to hell. So you began reading and then witnessing to them. Not teaching them, but telling them what the Bible says. Not teaching them from your own viewpoint. You have to first find out from the Word of God what the Lord's viewpoint is. And before you can begin teaching, but you can sure give them your testimony. You can tell them all about whatever you know about the Lord and how to be saved. And then when you're being merciful like that, there's going to come many times in your life when you're going to need mercy, and God will provide it for you if you are merciful to others. Okay, then what?
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
It's important to just have a heart that is without guile, a heart that just wants to do what the Lord says to do. Then what?
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God.
Well, peace comes when you preach the Prince of Peace to them, when you preach Jesus, the Word of God. And that shows that you're the peacemaker. And if you've got enemies, you pray for them. Because the Lord, why? Because the Lord said so. And, you know, we're not to take vengeance. In other words, there isn't anything that God says that you can't defend your children and your wife and children, your household. But there is, he's saying, you're not to go out and get vengeance on them. Because vengeance belongs to him. Amen?
Amen.
But if somebody is trying to do something to you, you can definitely take them down and pin them to the ground and have somebody call the police and arrest them. We've done that on an occasion just a couple of weeks ago in one of our churches out in the Fort Smith, Arkansas area, and the police actually started standing up for the person that was assaulting and battering somebody in one of the warehouses that one of the brothers owns. And that, so I talked to the police officer on the phone and told him, how come you're not arresting this man? You're wanting to arrest the person that he actually attacked. Well, we have to, you know, give some kind of a ridiculous excuse. And, you know, we're in the service of the Lord. I said, well, I have you on tape. I had his name. And I'm taping you, and I know how to go to internal affairs on you and also other people. And I would suggest that you remove that man. We're the one that called the police. He was assaulting and battering one of the people that worked there. And I would suggest that you take him out of there right now. We don't care to prosecute him, but we will pay for a ticket for him to go wherever he wants, but he cannot work here anymore. And so we bought a ticket for him to go to Florida and gave him $10 for food. But so there's nothing wrong in defending yourself like that. But it isn't like the man that was assaulted and battered is not to get a gun and go looking for the guy. That's seeking vengeance. Okay, there's a difference from defending yourself and also vengeance, seeking vengeance for somebody. Would just abide by those rules, and God will bless you. Then what?
Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, see, the Lord knew that people would be persecuted for doing the things that are right. I remember when I first got saved, nobody ever came after me before I got saved and started witnessing and testifying about Jesus. When I did, the entire West Hollywood Sheriff Department, the Hollywood, California Sheriff Department, the police, and everybody came after us because they said we were winning a lot of drug addicts off of drugs, and they were seeking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they were speaking in tongues, and they thought that we had them on some kind of a new drug, and they were saying all kinds of evil about them, and they were going into this place that we had on Carlos Avenue. It was a house, but we turned it into a church, pretty good-sized house. And they were beating them over the head with billy clubs and everything. And it just goes to show. So we read them these scriptures, and a lot of those brothers and sisters stayed in the gospel because they said they were to rejoice when something like this happens, because the prophets before them were persecuted in very much the same way, and some of them even worse. Okay, then what?
Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake.
Right, because again, it's evil is happens to be that you're lying and doing some character assassination. I've written something here that I'll have you read right now in a tract that I haven't yet put out. But read this first page here and mark where you're at there. You can do a little bit of the next page, too.
I am armed and dangerous. Titus
yeah,
chapter...
Yeah, I'm armed with the gospel and dangerous to the devil. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
Titus chapter 3, verse 2 states, to speak evil of no man. But what does the word evil mean? Which is the original Hellenic Greek that was spoken by the Jews back in the time of the Apostle Paul? Paul cautioned them, quote, to slander or abuse or speak evil of no one, unquote. A lot of Christians take this to mean you are not supposed to say any bad thing about the devil himself, even though it be the truth.
And even though it be police officer, people in the White House, people in the Catholic cult, or if you want to call it the Catholic Church, you can, I guess, or the government or the media, that you're not to say anything bad about them. But they're slandering us, and they're actually attacking us. They threw me in prison for nothing, for gospel's sake, really, for 4 years. And they were lying about me. They put me in there in a bunch of lies. And they, not only me, but many other people they put in prison. It's starting to come out now in the news, the people that they put in prison with lies. Even people that are not Christians. But go ahead.
We are going to read from Webster's Dictionary the meaning of slander. Evil would be to tell lies about someone. Don't speak evil or don't tell lies about someone is what it means. So if you are telling the truth about the devil or people that are agents of the devil, that is not speaking evil of men. It's telling the truth about them. For instance, when Jesus spoke to the Pharisees, he told them, quote, ye are of your father the devil, unquote. John.
So, see, Jesus, and we're supposed to be like him. If somebody's of the devil, you're not supposed to hide it from them. You're supposed to tell them. Amen?
Amen.
But that isn't evil to tell the truth about somebody. Okay, then what?
That was John chapter 8, verse 44. That was not speaking evil of them. That was telling the truth about evil people.
See, evil would be as if we were lying about them, or if Jesus was lying, if he said, you're of the devil. And a lot of baby Christians get into calling each other of the devil, and they have to be very careful. First of all, they're not supposed to be teaching, and because they're teaching the wrong thing, a lot of the people that they're saying are possessed with the devil are not. They're just taking vengeance, and in the Beatitudes here it tells you not to do that, because then you're going to fall into the same condemnation as Satan, and you're going to wind up in hell. So you must realize that these people that you're saying are possessed with the devil happen to be born of the Spirit Christians. They're the temple of God, and you could be bordering on blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Now, you might not like to hear this because maybe you don't like the way somebody looks. Like you hear of the red-haired, freckle-faced stepchild, and you just don't like a red-haired person with freckle face, or you might not like blacks, or you might not like presumptuous people, or people that are too cocky or something. And they're just brand new in the Lord, and they haven't learned that they have to be meek yet, and then you're telling them they're possessed with the devil. And this is lying. And the Lord says, don't do evil against any person. Amen?
Amen.
Especially born of the Spirit Christians. Okay, then continue on.
Don't speak evil. In other words, don't slander anyone. Don't tell lies about anybody. You can tell the truth about people. There's nothing in the Bible that says you cannot tell the truth about people.
Right. Now, there's people in our own church here that have brought false reports on Buster and other people in church. They make false reports, and you hear the other side of the story, and it's not, you know that one of them is lying for sure. And lying about somebody or slandering them is doing evil unto them, and therefore you're unexcusable. You're getting into the part that you're lying against people that are filled with incarnation, the continuation of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth. And people just love to gossip, and they love to hear evil things about people. They don't know whether it's true or not. But if it's not true, you're in a lot of trouble. So if I were you, I'd put a zipper on my lip and keep it shut, if that's the kind of a person you are, because why should you sell your soul just because you like to slander somebody or lie about them, okay, which is the same thing? Then what?
As a matter of fact, the Bible states that if a person will not receive the rebuke of a saint, quote, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. Tell the evil thing that this person has done, and let the congregation judge as to whether that person be evil or not. This is not slander or malicious. It's keeping the commandments of the Lord. Matthew chapter 18, verses 16 through 17. It is not slander. Slander is telling a lie about somebody. Webster's Dictionary states...
Yeah, or slandering them, which is the same thing. Then what else?
Webster's Dictionary states the meaning of slander is, quote, defamation. Defamation of character. To defame somebody's character. To make up stories about them, whether oral or written. A false tale or report. You are not supposed to bring false tales or reports about anybody. That's speaking evil of people. That's speaking slanders, lies about somebody to defame them.
And the Lord says, don't speak evil against any man, especially your brother and sister in the Lord. And newly saved people are, you know, they're like a can of worms anyway, but that doesn't mean they're of the devil. They just came out of the world. They were just born. It's like little babies that are just born there. They wet their diapers, and they vomit and all kinds of stuff, but you just can't throw them out the window because they do that. You have to thank God for women that like to take care of things like that. Okay? It's not a man's job. Men should never do that. All right, then what else?
That's speaking slanders, lies about somebody to defame them, to bring them down to your own level. Maliciously, orally uttered, intending to injure the reputation of another. The malicious oral utterance and false defamatory reports. The malicious publication by speech of false tales or suggestion to the injury of another, unquote. To tell false stories about people to injure the reputation of them so that they will no longer be credible.
Right, that's why they're telling false stories about myself. And other ministers all over the world is because they want to make them to where they're not credible. I could go to a bunch of people that know me and that know that what I'm preaching is true, but there's a lot of people that won't listen to Jesus because there was so much defamation of character about him in that time. They said he was not born of a virgin, that his mother was an adulteress, and on and on and on it goes. And it's just character assassination to cause people to not want to listen to him. And when you don't listen to Jesus or people that are from Jesus, you're hurting your own self. Because the very words of life that we preach to you, you're just cutting yourself off from them because of some story that you heard from somebody that doesn't even know us, that doesn't even know us or anyone in our church, or they don't know the Lord. And some of them have left because they were put out of our church. We put people out of here because they go back on drugs or booze, or they began they fornicate or something, or they want to fornicate, or they start using all kinds of different things that they do that are disobedient to the Lord. So we put them out of the church, as the Lord states for us to do in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. Okay, well, that's just a little teaser on this new piece of literature. I actually started this piece of literature many years ago, and I never did put it out. It's called Armed and Dangerous. We're armed with the Word of God and dangerous to the devil. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, continue on here with the book of Matthew, chapter 5.
Verse 12. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven.
Read the verse before that.
Okay. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you.
That's what they're doing. That's what you just read. They're saying all kinds of evil about us because they don't want your soul to go to heaven. Now, my soul is already saved. And so the only one that is being hurt is you by not listening. Okay? And so you should know that if a person is preaching the true word of God, that they are of God. And somebody that's just slandering, telling lies, I mean, they're not of God, they're of the devil. And I'm just saying that because it's true. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not slandering them, I'm telling the truth about them.
Amen.
All right, then what?
Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you.
Yeah, we're glad. You say, do I sound like I'm really uptight about it? No, I'm glad. Because if that kind of stuff stopped, I'd start thinking, well, maybe I'm not right with the Lord. But all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute my servants. And so I'm exceedingly glad, you know, that I'm accounted worthy to be slandered. Before I got saved, no one slandered me. After I did, I mean, it was unbelievable. It was like a storm of false newspaper articles. This went on for, God, it went on for 30 some years, and now they've cut. They're not saying any bad thing or any good thing about us because the government, the FBI. Went around from one radio and television stations to another and warned them, don't be saying, don't let him be interviewed anymore. I used to be interviewed sometimes two and three times a day by major stations, and they've been threatened that if they interview me, that they will be taken off the air. They'll close their television station, radio station. That's why I'm so dangerous to the devil, because my gospel, when people hear me, they know that I'm telling the truth.
Amen.
Okay, and they know I'm fearless, that the government doesn't scare me. Neither does the devil himself, all right?
Amen.
The devil, his church, his government, and his media, they don't scare me. I've got God.
Amen.
And God has smitten many people that have tried to attack me physically. I mean, many of them are horizontal now. Okay, in boxes. Okay, what else? I didn't do it. The Lord did it. They died of cancer and all kinds of other things. All right, what else?
verse 13, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men."
Right. If you stop preaching the gospel, if you're not really telling people about the Lord, if you become scared of the government or the media or your friends, what they'll say about you, if you step out of the closet and start preaching the gospel to bring about the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Read that again.
Ye are the salt of the earth.
But if you lose, you see, you're salty if you do that. But if you stop witnessing and testifying, and if you stop being a credible witness for the Lord, you are only worthy to be trodden under foot. Amen?
Amen.
Go ahead, read the rest.
"But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing."
Yeah, you're good for nothing if you're not stepping out and being counted for. There wasn't one person, just H.P. Barnum and a few other people, and the people in my church are the only ones that stood with me when I was being persecuted. The rest of them, whether they believed me or not, they didn't say a peep. They didn't come to our rescue. They were too afraid to even donate money to the church here, because they knew we're getting the gospel out, and instead, they thought they could pacify God by tithing to churches that they know very good and well are not doing the job for the Lord. And so therefore, you people that are like that, you're guilty. You're good for nothing. And do you think that God's going to let a bunch of good-for-nothings into the kingdom of heaven? Come in, my good and good-for-nothing servant, non-servant. Come on in for eternal rest, you good-for-nothing. Don't think that that'll happen. You got to be salty, kids, okay?
Amen.
You have to be salty, full of salt, savor, or you're good-for-nothing. Okay, then what?
"It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid."
Yeah, he's talking to people that are wanting to go out and witness and testify and even be crucified for doing it. These first disciples, and not only the first ones, but there have been many of us that have been willing to die for the gospel since that time. Amen?
Amen.
And so we're willing.
Amen.
Okay, go ahead and read that sentence again.
"Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid."
Yeah, but if you people believe the gospel and you're shutting your mouth, you put a zipper on your mouth, or you're hiding because of your fearful, you're fearful and unbelieving. You don't believe that if you don't open your mouth, you're going to go to hell, but you will. But right here in the Beatitudes, the Lord says you will. Okay, then what?
"Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel."
Now, the Lord lit you. You're supposed to be a light unto the Gentiles, unto the Jews, and you're not saying a word. You've gotten into a church that says, all right, just to clap your hands, raise your hands, sway back and forth, listen to jive music, gospel rap, and all this, supposed to be gospel. And you just sit there and give them tithes, and you think that that's going to pacify God. You are just kidding yourself. You better get right with the Lord and get zealous for Him as the first believers and those of us that are really on fire for the Lord today. Because otherwise you're good for nothing. And God's not going to let good for nothings into heaven, but all the good for nothings are going to be burnt forever. The lake of fire, and hell and the lake of fire. Okay, go ahead.
"Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house."
Right. Now, the gospel is Jesus is the light of the world, and Jesus is the Word of God. And so if He has ignited your soul, and He has entered your body, and you have eternal life, and then most people that are really of the Lord want to spread the word. They want to be merciful to others. I couldn't stand to think that I know the truth and that there's no burning desire in me to do what the Lord says, to be merciful. He was merciful to me, and so I wouldn't be merciful to them. I want to go out and tell the truth, you know, to people. And but they've kept me off the air for years because they know. Now, you see these other evangelists, they don't take them off. You know why? Because they're not offensive to the devil.
Amen.
They're not offensive to him. And most of them belong to the Catholic Church. I would say minimum 90% of them. Jack Van Impe claims to be a Catholic, and so does, Benny Hinn, and Hour of Power, what's his name? The one that has a crystal cathedral, he's Catholic. Robert Schuller. They're all Catholics. They're not going to tell you the truth. They're going to just exalt man. They tell, oh, this man started this big company and everything because they give him big money, you know. It's like an advertisement for their company. So they're not really Christians either. They're just going over there and giving their testimonies because they're giving them a big advertisement. That isn't what the gospel's all about. You must have Christ live with the Father by the Spirit living in you. Come on, you have to get real. You look at so spick and span in those those cults, really, and you're going there to be healed. You will not be able to be healed unless you have the faith to be healed. We have, I'm sure, more healings at our church than Benny Hinn does.
Amen.
Okay? Because a bunch of reporters went on him, and they followed people that said they got healed, and they were running up and down the aisles. But the next day, they saw him in another healing line. And they just said they saw everyone do the same thing. And Sue and I have saw that for years. We go in the morning to the Full Gospel Christian Businessmen meeting, and then all of a sudden, and then we'd go to some other place in the evening, and here would be the same people standing in line to be healed. But when you get healed, really, I mean, you're healed. You don't have to go the next day, the next day, the next day, forever, on and on to different churches for that. Healing, you come, you pray, let me pray for you, and if you're really serving the Lord, you're already healed, my friend. You don't need to go to one of those Catholic meetings, because the Lord is not with the Catholic cult. He states in his word that's the Antichrist. And if you're tithing and giving offerings to the Antichrist, you're aiding and abetting the beast, the great whore, the mother of every abomination on earth. And that's up to you. You could do that all right. If you have your own will, you can will to do that or will to do what the Father says. But you better tithe to the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Not to the Antichrist, the devil. Okay, then what?
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Now you think I'm slandering these people. No, I'm doing what Jesus did, okay? I'm not slandering. I'm telling the truth
Amen.
About them. I'm not lying about them. Okay, I'm not slandering them. I'm telling the truth.
Amen.
Okay, the Pope is Antichrist. Amen?
Amen.
And he's the head of the entire Antichrist regime here on earth. And there are many of these churches that are posing as Protestants so that they can have a lot of followers. Why are they so ashamed of the Catholic cult that to say that they're of Catholics when it's because for years they've been posing as Protestants? They've been lying to you. Okay? Yeah, same thing with Jesse Jackson. I mean, he's a publicity hound like Donald Trump and other people. They just want him to be famous. Rich and famous, okay? But that isn't what it's all about. I want to know that the Lord's blessing me. I wouldn't be going around trying to muscle my way into every situation. Even the reporters are making fun of him. Okay, then what else?
Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets.
No, he's come to fulfill. He didn't come to... a lot of people say the law is done away with. That isn't true. But he says he came to fulfill the law. In other words, to pay the penalty, because the law must be satisfied. Somebody must die. The whole human race must die and go to hell because they've broken the law. And but when you get saved, all the sins, former sins, have left your soul, and therefore you no longer have to die because of the law, because Jesus rescued you from that. But then he says the law is still intact. It's not destroyed. I fulfilled it by leaving an opening for you to be saved. And so you're saved now, but don't think that the law is done away with, because if you sin again, you're under the law. And you can see a lot of these study Bibles, I mean, almost every single one of them say that it's impossible for you to fall away from the Lord. If you sin again, knowingly, willingly, and wantonly, and you're living like the unsaved do, with the exception as you go to church on Sunday and on Wednesday maybe, you're not off the hook. You're breaking the law, and I don't care how many churches you go to, you're still going to hell in the lake of fire. So don't think that I've come to destroy the law. I fulfilled the law. I paid the price for that the law demanded be paid so that human beings could be saved. But he says, now go, and now that you're saved, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing happen to you, because I'm not going to die again for you. Now you just, I paid the price once, and that's enough. In the book of Revelations, he said, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the Almighty. And he said, behold, I am he who was alive, who was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. So I'm not going to die anymore. He said, I'm not going to die anymore. I'm alive forevermore. Amen?
Amen.
So it's all over. And that's why once was enough to get my beard pulled out and beaten to the point to where I'm not even recognized as a human being. So you have to get with it now. You have to take up the cross and follow me. You have to die out to the world. And people that are still, they're having problem with sexual temptations and all that. That's because you're not in the Sabbath of the Lord. You're not resting in the Lord. And what it is that you're very impulsive. You're a type that maybe has been sown on stony ground. The roots go down for a little while, and then all of a sudden you start looking at the temptations, or it could be also that you're preoccupied with looking at sexual things or women, or if you're a woman, you're looking at men, you know, with lust in your heart. But the Bible tells us that you're not to be preoccupied with these things, because you're going to fall away. That's the way it is, and you won't make it into heaven. Then what?
Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill.
So he did fulfill the law. He paid the price that the law demanded. If humanity was to be saved in God, the law says, I'm your law. I'm the law of God. And so you made the law, and it can't be broken. Any law that God made cannot be broken. So somebody has to die. All people that break the law have to go to hell. And that's why these study Bibles, when they say, well, you know, the Lord doesn't, he saved us so that we can still sin and not go to hell. Not one sin shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Don't let them kid you. The Lord says, those that sin, he that sinneth is of the devil. Okay, and he's not going to let any devil into the kingdom of heaven. And this is what the devil hates about my messages. This is why I'm persecuted so much, is because the devil knows who I am. And the Lord knows who I am, too. And I'm blowing the whistle on him, and I'm telling the truth about the gospel. Okay, the gospel is the truth, not your, if your pastor's lying to you, not him. He is not the truth. You have to read the Bible for yourself. I hear these people saying such incredible false things in their pulpit, and the people are applauding in the congregations, and I can tell they don't read the Bible, because they're telling them something that is completely, entirely false. And I'm telling the truth. Okay, then what?
For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled.
Right, so that means the law is going to stay intact until the end. And if you sin after you've been saved, there's a hotter place in hell for you, because the law is going to be fulfilled. If every sinner, whether they call themselves a Christian sinner or a non-Christian sinner, all sinners shall spend eternity in the lake of fire. in hell and the lake of fire. Then what?
Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments.
Here it goes right here. Whosoever breaks even one of these least commandments will what?
And shall teach men so.
And they'll teach these teachers that are teaching people that sin is going to get into heaven. Then what's going to happen to them?
He shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, by the people in heaven, they'll call him the least. Because and the least is not getting into the kingdom. Then what?
But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven.
Right. Then what?
For I say unto you that...
Because the people, you know, the angels, so they're seeing us. They're seeing what we're doing. And so they're telling people, that's the least person on earth down there. They're in heaven and saying that. And then this one is the greatest on earth that's really plowing and doing the things the Lord says. Then what?
For I say unto you that except your righteousness...
Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of God. That means you must be better than these phonies that are goody-goody two-shoes. Read it.
For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Okay, so you have to be perfect, amen?
Amen.
They say, well, perfect, that doesn't mean perfect, that you're not sinning, because it's a biblical term and all this. They're just doing away with the Word of God. The Word of God, they're interpreting it totally wrong. And why? For your destruction. Satan knows he's going to hell, and he wants to take you with him. Well, I see my time is up. And those of you that would like to get into the Lord right now and to learn of him and get into heaven, just you can very easily by just following me in this prayer. And I'm going to pray that, and you are going to pray right now to the Lord in heaven. And he will save your soul right now. Now just repeat after me. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. And I believe that God raised him from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you've heard me. I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now just get into the Bible and to keep tuning in. And read our website. My website is...
AlamoMinistries.com.
Yeah, just dial in on that. You can read it or call us or fax us. The phone number is...
479-782-7406.
And the fax number?
Excuse me, that was the fax.
Oh, okay, that's the fax number. Read it again then.
479-782-7406.
And the phone?
479-782-7370.
Praise the Lord. Make sure to tune in tomorrow. Until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.